Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy spring, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to Belmont Buzz. I'm your host, Joanna Jubilis, senior multimedia journalist for the Belmont Citizen Herald and Wicked Local Belmont. Today, we're going to be talking about some very exciting programs happening at our Belmont Public Library here in Belmont. And with us to talk about these programs is the director of the Belmont Public Library, Peter Struzzaro, and as well as a very new member of the Belmont Public Library staff, Lauren Fender, who's Belmont Public Library's new coordinator of reference and public services. And also we have with us Catherine Bonfilio of Belmont Against Racism. So first, what I'd like you all to do is just go around and introduce yourselves. We'll start with you, Peter.
Hi, Joanna. Thanks for having me. Like you said, I'm Peter Struzzaro. I'm the director of the Public Library. Been in town for about 6 years, and this is my third community read, but I think it's our eighth or our ninth overall. So we're very happy to be here to talk about it today.
Yes, very exciting.
I'm Lauren Fender.
Next.
Yes, sure. And I'm the new coordinator of reference and public services here at Belmont Public Library. I've actually been here for about a year and a half. I started as a technology librarian and then moved over to reference. And I'm really excited to be part of this community read in a very interesting time. It's been a real challenge, but also a real delight to be able to connect with people in different ways.
And I'm Catherine Bonfilio, president of Belmont Against Racism, a nonprofit here in Belmont that's been around for 28 years. And I am just so pleased to be on here today and to be working with Peter and Lauren. I have been part of the committee that has helped with some of the programming, particularly around the first book, Say I'm Dead.
Oh, wow. So excited. So that's a great segue into what we're going to be talking about today, which is this new kind of One Book, One Belmont event that the library is having. This is an annual event that you've had, I don't know how many years now, Peter?
It's not quite annual. We usually do it every 2 to 3 years. So
it's a community read where you usually have one book that you get the whole community to read, and you have events that coordinate with the book throughout the month. Usually is it throughout the month of March? It's not usually 2 months, right?
It's usually 1 month. It's not always the same month, sometimes in the spring, sometimes in the fall.
Okay.
The last one we did was
happening. This year is different, and you can explain why, but I know it's 2 months. It's already kicked off. And I also know it's not called One Book, One Belmont. It's called Better Through Books, Healing the Community Together. Right?
That's perfect. You got it. So the last one, just for a little context, the last one we did was more of the standard One Book, One Belmont. It was October of 2018. It was the 200th anniversary of Frankenstein, of the writing of Frankenstein. So our book was Frankenstein. We picked 1 month, one book, and we did 17 or 18 programs throughout the month. And that's the typical format for the community read. So this time out, I was from the beginning, it was different because for the first time ever, the now retired Emily Reardon wasn't involved. And Emily was the one who came up with One Book, One Belmont and ran it successfully for a decade plus. So just to start, we had to kind of learn how to go at it without the legend. So we started planning for this in the fall, and I realized you know, at the end of 2020, that we needed something to be a little different this time out. Every conversation that we had in 2020 all had the flavor of the same idea, right? That 2020 was a really hard year, that there was a lot of things going on that have never gone on before. And a couple of different topics really rose to the top. One was the focus on anti-racism, on equity, diversity, inclusion. It seemed to me, especially, that people in Belmont and people in Massachusetts, people that I know, have been paying attention to this conversation in a way that I'd never seen before. And it seemed like people really had their hearts open and their minds open in a way that they haven't in a long time. And it seemed like it would be a total waste to not take advantage of that, to focus on that important topic. At the same time, though, every conversation you have in the last year has to do with COVID-19, not necessarily just whether you got the virus, had the virus, need to recover from the virus, whether you lost someone to the virus, but all the other things that came as ramifications, you know, feelings of loss, feelings of isolation, of loneliness, of panic. We realized that we really wanted to focus on that as well. And all the positives on the other side of those things, the ideas of wellness, of opportunities for optimism, of building community, coping skills. And I couldn't quite decide. I'd never done a one book, one Belmont with two themes. So my first call was to Catherine Bonfiglio, who's with us today from Belmont Against Racism. And I threw this whole thing at her and I said, you know, I'll never be successful in this if Belmont Against Racism isn't involved, and specifically you, you know, and if you want to think it over and let me know. She didn't want to think it over. We had maybe two conversations on the phone and she was with me from the beginning. And then we pulled in Lauren, who had just been promoted into her new role. And then we started building the committee from there. And right away we realized that one book wouldn't work in the title, right?
Right.
So we came up with a new committee, which we still call the One Book, One Belmont Committee. And then we came up with our working title through our process.
So how did you come up with the books that are part of this community read? I understand there are three books to go with the two themes.
Yeah, there are. So all the decisions were made by committee. So we built a strong committee of different folks that represent different community organizations, which is the typical thing that we do. But I pulled in a lot of new faces and new groups, and together we came up with the different books and the different themes that we wanted to really focus on, and then the title.
Well, who can tell me about the books?
Yeah, maybe I'll ask Lauren to speak about them a little more in depth, but the three books, let's see if I got them all memorized. Say I'm Dead is our keynote by E. Dolores Johnson, and she'll be speaking on the 30th of the month. We have The Storied Life of A.J. Fickrey by Gabrielle Zevin, and she'll be speaking in April. And there's two local authors that did another book, and now the title is escaping me of that book because I'm just starting to read it.
So the sort of the third one for April is called Opening to Grief, and it's by Claire B. Willis and Marnie Crawford Samuelson. They had spoken recently at Belmont Books to a warm and, you know, warm reception. I think it went over really well and touched on these notes of healing and resiliency. I mean, it's there is a lot of profound grief from 2020, and not in the ways that people normally think of grief. And I think this book really speaks to that. It's not necessarily about the loss of a loved one per se, but more about different ways of experiencing grief and how to accept and embrace those and move beyond, which I think was nail on the head for April's theme.
I see. Did you say that they're local residents that wrote it, or they're just local?
They are local. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Claire lives in Jamaica Plain. Marnie lives in Belmont, though, I believe.
Oh, that's great. So will there be an event where they'll be speaking as well?
Yeah, so they are going to be doing a virtual author. Most of these events will be
That's virtual. What I wanted to ask you. Which one of you wants to talk about these events that are coming up, highlight some of the events, and are they all virtual or any in person?
Well, they are not all virtual, which is actually...
Oh,
yeah, I mean, March is mostly focused on it, mostly due to weather, of course. I mean, it's hard to plan with March weather, but we have some really fun opportunities to be in person in a safe and socially distant way in April.
Okay.
And, Yeah.
I'm there.
So there's going to be two sessions of a nature walk through the habitat. The first one will be on April 10th. It's led by a local health and wellness coach named Kim from Your Health Sense. And that'll be the first one's on the 10th. It meets in the morning, so nice, bright, and early. But daylight savings has already come and gone, thankfully. So it'll give a little more daylight there. And then the second one will be on the 17th, that following Saturday. So it's a nice, slightly, it's about 3/4 of a mile of a walk through habitat with some movements and some stretching and exercises along the way. And if April pans out to be a beautiful month, then hopefully we'll have great weather for those walks.
I do hope so. Are there any other live events that you want to highlight? That sounds like a really good one.
Those are kind of the biggest ones. It's a tricky time of year, I think, to have things that are actually going to be in person. So the vast majority of them are going to be on Zoom. But I think one of the things that we tried to maximize with the programs is choosing opportunities that are a little bit different than all of the talking heads that I think people see on a regular basis these days. So, you know, we've got some really interesting documentary and film options that have been included for March, especially. There was just last night, there was the Race Amity documentary, which we have a copy of in the library's collection if anybody wants to borrow it. And then there's also on this coming Monday on the 22nd, we're going to be doing a screening of the movie Loving, which had been very warmly received and is a story of the Loving versus Virginia, if I'm not mistaken, landmark.
That's correct.
Supreme Court case about interracial marriage, which speaks directly to E. Dolores Johnson's experience in her life of coming from an interracial background.
Can we hear a little bit more, Catherine, about these events that have an anti-racism
Yes, certainly. First, I want to just say Lauren just jumped in with both feet. You know, she was sort of new to this and she's done a fabulous job with putting together some programs. So we had a program of called Race, Justice and the Law that also can be found on Belmont Media if people want to take a look at it. And, you know, we talked about healing. And of course, what we wanted to do with this part in light of the George Floyd and Ahmaud Arbery and Breonna Taylor is there's a lot of talk about lifting up the voices, particularly of people of color. And so that is what the library is doing. And one of those with the Race, Justice and the Law spoke about restorative justice, about some of the intergenerational issues of trauma and doing restorative justice. And so that's been good. As Lauren mentioned, they had the Race Amity. I'm looking forward to hearing from Jared Walker. He's written a series of essays, How to Make a Slave. A couple of them, I think, have been in the New Yorker. He's a great writer, and that's coming up on March 25th as an author series. And of course, I'm looking forward to hearing E. Dolores Johnson talk. It's really a memoir, and she, you know, there are issues for both her Black family and more specifically her white family, but also in a time when a lot of people are thinking about identity. You know, everyone's on, you know, the sites to have their history and DNA looked at and whatever. I think this also speaks to all of us who look for our own identity with our families. And so it has a universal theme, but it's also a theme because of anti-miscegenation laws. And, you know, she's out of Indiana. There were some lynchings not that long before that happened in her state. So I think we get a little bit of the flavor of the history of America and also a little bit of the history of about identity.
Thank you. Thank you, Catherine. Peter, what else can you tell us about what's happening at the library between now and the end of April? Ooh, I think you might be muted. Anything else that you want to highlight on our show today?
Yeah, I'd love to highlight the members of the committee if I could just read through the list really quickly, because this was very much a team effort. I'll go through quickly. So Catherine Bonfilio from Belmont Against Racism, Gail Gorman representing Belmont Books, Lixin Quinn from Belmont Chinese American Association, Dana Beckelman from the Council on Aging, From the Belmont Food Collaborative, we had Vicki Slavin and Suzanne Jeanette. From the Friends of the Library, we had co-president Maria Mombardi and Diane Kalopoulos. From the Belmont Gallery of Art, we had Rebecca Richards and Nadine Storer. From the Human Rights Commission, we had Carrie Cartwright. And from, let's see, the Belmont Public Schools, Karen Duff, Janet Sand from the Belmont Religious Council, Lisa Giblerio from Belmont Wellness Coalition, Marianne Scally, who represented the Belmont Women's Club, Lauren and I, who acted as co-chairs for the committee, and two representatives of our Board of Library Trustees, Mary Stearns and Elaine Alleygood. So very talented group of all women besides me. I minded my P's and Q's and mostly did what I was told. But I'd say that we couldn't have been successful without such a great team. One thing we did different this time around was we allowed multiple members of the different groups so that we could make sure we had a full committee meeting each time and gave members flexibility to come to one meeting and their counterpart could come to the next. And I think it really helped us to flesh in on this program that's really a lot bigger in scale from the ones we've done in the past, being 2 months and closer to, you know.
I agree. It is very different. And you have a very big committee. That is a big committee. Do you know if any other libraries in the area are doing anything else like this, or is this unique to Belmont?
No libraries do anything like us. We're one of a kind. No, a lot of our counterparts in different towns do community reads as well on a semi-regular basis. I don't know of any that have done multiple books, multiple months. It's usually pretty standard. You know, you pick a book and that's your community read for 3 or 4 weeks. And that's what we'll return to as well. You know, One Book, One Belmont is a time-honored tradition now. We've got great branding around that name, and it means something to people in Belmont, and I don't plan to leave it behind. But special situation required special circumstances, special outcomes. So for this one, we'll divert and do this kind of alternate programming.
So is there a recommendation on when to read each of the books, since there are three of them, and is there deadlines of when you should?
As soon as you can get your hands on them. I try to start with E. Dolores Johnson because she's coming in just a little while on March 30th. We have many copies of all the titles, so they're very available. You can request them by calling the library or going on the app, the mobile app. You can also do it on your computer, on our website. There's many ways to get a copy of the book. So I'd say start with E. Dolores Johnson's book called Say I'm Dead. And then the others, as soon as you can get your hands on them.
Now, I know it's been a year since the pandemic, and I know the library has been doing things a lot differently for the past year. You've adjusted with the times. You've kept everyone safe, your staff, your patrons, but we're not going to look back at the past year, but if you could just tell me, what are things like now at the library, and you know, how will things be changing as things continue to get better, hopefully?
Yeah, one of the things that changed is we had to create a new dual focus on what's the most important thing we do. Previously, it's build community, you know, give out information, give access to books. And now there's a shared focus. When we are able to have patrons back inside, it's keep the patrons safe. So once patrons are back in the library, which I hope to be in the coming weeks and months, you'll see people wearing masks, and you'll see plexiglass everywhere, and you'll see stickers on the ground directing you in certain walking patterns, as well as encouraging you to keep 6 feet distance. You'll see hand sanitizing stands all over the library, as well as little pumps on public service desks. And you won't be able to see our smiles because we'll be wearing masks, but underneath them, you'll see a bunch of staff that's excited to have patrons back. But safety has become this new great focus for all of us.
So when will you make that determination of when to reopen?
I'm making it now. So I'm finalizing some details now with my team. And I don't know that there'll be big changes in the month of March, but I'm hopeful that in April we'll have some news for you.
Who do you consult with? Is it the Belmont Health Department that you consult with about what?
Who don't I consult with? There's been a lot of consensus building, we'll say, but I have a lot of great communication, yeah, with Wesley Chin, the director of our health department, with Patrice Garvin, our town administrator, and her team, with Kathy Cohen, who leads our Board of Library Trustees, we've got a lot of contacts with the Department of Public Health and the Center for Disease Control. We talk regularly with all the Minuteman Library directors in our network, as well as contacts at the state, at the Mass Board of Library Commissioners. I've talked to everyone except you, I think, Joanna, about it. So it's very much a team decision, and there's no shortage of opinions, we'll say. But I'm hopeful there'll be some good news coming out.
Well, that will be a big news story. Libraries reopening, woo! Before we move on, I think we have a little time to talk about some of the other programs that Lauren is working on. I just didn't want to move on until you're ready. I want to just ask if people want to learn more about this community read and the events related to it, do they just go on the Belmont Public Library website?
Yeah, we have a website specifically set up for this. I think it's onebookonebelmont.net
.com.
If you go to Google and just type in one book, one Belmont, all one word, it'll bring up the page right from our website that you can go through, and it'll give you a little bit of background. It'll highlight the different titles, and within it are links to the calendar offerings for both March and April.
Do you need to pre-register for these events, or do you have to pre-register?
It's preferred. Yeah.
It's recommended. Okay. Catherine, did you have anything else you wanted to add? Anything related to your role or, you know, what's happening with Belmont against racism these days? Anything?
Well, I would just want to say, reiterate that I think it's really important. It would be really wonderful if lots of people participate in these programs. I think the library's done just a tremendous job putting them together. So just getting the word out would be huge. I believe in this sort of pebble effect, as trite as it is, that you drop a pebble in the water and new ideas and new ways of thinking about things go out from that pebble and from that ripple effect, and then it affects more people. And I think, you know, in this conversation, as Peter mentioned, that more people seem interested in this past year and more open to talking about issues around discrimination and race. And so I'd like to, you know, we need to seize that time. So I hope people participate. That would be great. And
thanks. Laura, what else are you working on in your new role at the library?
What aren't we working on at the library? That's the beauty and the curse of the library is we do so much. And some of these are things that have been around for a while that people might not be aware of. We introduced a bunch of new online services. We upped the number of Borrows and Canopy, which is a great film streaming service that we have. There's also there's Creative Bug, which is a new database for people to work on crafting projects, which has been really robust and well used. We added another TV streaming service called Acorn TV that's been going strong. If you're a big, Britbox sort of fan, you like a lot of British television or anything that comes from the UK, that's a great resource for that. And then we've been trying to sort of come up with creative ways to move things onto the virtual world that we all live in now. So we have a monthly trivia night that's been happening since July. It's probably one of our best annual monthly programs, I should say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a crafting one, which one of our new librarians had taken over and has also proven to be quite popular. So finding ways to connect people in person and then, with materials if it's needed or in a collaborative and really fun way online has been really key mm-hmm. to the programming. And then we had some really great opportunities to work with other libraries in the area just to bring some really notable, you know, high profile authors.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, which we look forward to continuing. Since December, we've had, James Patterson as an author in conversation with Hank Phillippe Ryan. The same was true with Robin Cook, who's doesn't have a new book coming out, but he's a prolific medical thriller writer. He's probably well known for most people who read in that thriller genre. Barbara Dolinsky, who's probably better known for romance and stories about family, and is also a Massachusetts native, so that was nice to have both a local and a famous author. Yeah. And then Robert Reich was in February as well, who is a well-known economist and served as the Secretary of Labor under Clinton, in the Clinton administration.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Well, Lauren's glossing past this, Joanna. In her first 2 months on the job, she brought the two biggest authors to the Belmont Library that we've ever had in the library's history. James Patterson, Robin Cook, who sold like 400 million books.
That's so great.
Easily the two biggest authors that we've ever had for events, all under Lauren's tenure in the first few minutes.
Will you be planning any more live events? It sounds like you're focusing a lot on virtual, but as things continue to get better,
as the weather gets better in particular, we'll be doing more. So there are a couple of events.
Well, you say weather because you prefer outdoor. You don't think you'll be doing anything indoor.
That's correct. Yeah. In due time, I can't wait to have the patrons back in the library, but We're gonna do what we need to do instead of what we want to do. We're gonna focus on safety and on all the rules and regulations. And once we think we have a model in place where we can do events safely in the building, then we will. But as the weather is turning, we'll start to get outside as much as possible and work with our partners in the rec department to see what outdoor spaces in town we can Good. Utilize.
Good. In the meantime, is your library staffed? Are people in the building working?
They sure are every day. Happy to take your phone calls, happy to answer emails. We've got a virtual chat that was set up during the COVID closure last year. And we're also doing right now pickup of materials at the windows for several hours a day. So yeah, we're fully staffed.
So before we wrap up, why don't we just talk a little bit more about these April events that are planned around the Better Through Books Healing Community Together.
So we've got a lot of, with the theme of being wellness and healing, I think we've got a lot of different levels of opportunities. And there's, as we mentioned earlier, some that will be in person, being able to get out and move on the nature walks. There's two sessions, one on April 10th and one on April 17th. It'll be a really fun opportunity to sort of connect safely with people in person. Also, if anybody's looking to sort of build on their knowledge of wellness and resiliency, we've partnered with the Wellness Consortium, which is a small group that started in Arlington for a two-part workshop that's going to be on April 1st and then the 8th, which I think is going to be a great opportunity to focus on self-care, self-compassion, and what it means to be resilient in these times. We're sort of on the other end of it, right? But it's going to be a great opportunity to build those skills. We have it's hard to choose just a few, so I'll go through the rest, which is the author talk with Claire Willis and Marnie Crawford Samuelson is going to be a great opportunity to sort of see how those fit in with processing grief. And then a panel discussion, which will be on the 26th, which is about processing trauma and harnessing resiliency. And that's going to be really great. One of the Lisa, who's on the committee from the Wellness Consortium in Belmont, did a great job of selecting some great panelists for this to speak to how we do these things and how it affects our children too. So really being able to bring in the whole family for these discussions about what it means to be resilient and to heal during this time, because the kids obviously have had a very challenging time with school being shut down and having to shift to a virtual environment there.
Yeah.
And then the big one, of course, is Gabrielle Zevin, who's a New York Times bestselling author. She currently lives in California, but the beautiful part about virtual world and virtual programming is being able to talk with somebody who's so well known for a much beloved book that came out 2014, but it's been optioned for a film, which should be forthcoming in the next couple of years. And it's a story about both dealing with trauma and tough times and also finding a lot of hope and the love of books. So you certainly cannot go wrong with that trifecta.
Very good. Thank you for going through all those events. And this is exciting. It's like a Belmont Library, community book club that, people have the opportunity to be part of. So I really think it's exciting. And I'm glad that you all were able to come on the show to talk about it. And I'll be sure to keep spreading the word. People, there's plenty of things to do. And spring is here. And the sun is shining. Let's hope it continues to shine. And you know, hope is in the air.
Thanks so much.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
The great thing, because it is, it's healing the community together. That's what it's all about. Right.
We all need hope.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for coming on the show. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Be sure to check out these really great events at the Belmont Public Library. Read the books and heal. That's what it's all about. It's time to heal. Buzzing off for now.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.